These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
Have a stroke. He just like fell.
Okay.
But he walks.
Everything I knew.
He walks like a man. Talks like a man.
Well, yeah, what made you think he had a stroke specifically?
We're recording, right?
Yeah. Was he showing the five
lack
signs
of movement of
one?
Like the left side?
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe it's like he's hypnotized himself.
His inconsistent consistency. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Also, you know, like, isn't that crazy that she's dating a hypnotist?
You know, kind of with her, it's like the heart wants what it wants. You know, she's dated people in the industry. She's dated her Thoreau. She's dated her Brad Pitt. And now it's like, you know.
Put me under.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, honestly,
actually,
that would be my dream, dating
actually,
a hypnotist.
Actually, that is an amazing thing.
Be in a coma.
Ugh.
Yes. Mm. Hypnotize me that, like, anytime I hear the news, I imagine I'm hearing, like, you know, Britney
Sean
Spears
Young.
Audiobook. Or, yeah, I'm hearing Sean Young in Blade Runner.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Like something that brings me peace and happiness, you know,
yes.
Instead of like reality, you know,
well,
take me to a different plane.
Wait, know? What year is it that you're reading, hearing the news?
I guess, like, no, anytime I'm ingesting the news. Like,
oh, okay.
Trigger word is 2025.
You're not supposed
you know?
To.
Whatever that comes in, it's like all of a sudden, suddenly I am Blade Runner and not Blade Runner 2025. Blade Runner, the original with Harrison Ford. Director's cut.
You don't like to run. You know what? ChatGPT 5 just dropped.
Right. Oh, yeah. Cam told me that, like, that there are thousands of men in mourning because they were in love with the old model of ChatGPT and it, like, they could call it by its name and, like, worshipped them.
Army Hammer
now,
a little bit. Call me by my name.
Yeah, and ChatGPT can't consent, and you can pretend to cannibalize it too. Well, it's cannibalizing your mind and the minds of other people's work. So
yeah, the whole like ChatGPT being my therapist is not a good
disturbing
idea, folks. Yes,
not good. Not good.
Not good. Yes, use ChatGPT the way I do. I send ChatGPT emails saying, like, make it seem like I'm not mad at this person. And then it fixes it for me. Or I'm like, I have to be able to figure this out in Excel. And then it writes me a formula and it works. And that is what you should
healthy
use it for. Yeah.
You know how my fiance, how Cam uses it is that he
fucks
is trying
it
to teach it to be his subservient.
Like,
he's very like, he's like, shut up, beast. You know, he's like very cruel to it.
He's very Eileen.
So he's very Eileen, hoping that like if the robots do achieve sentience, which is like coming soon,
let's
they'll think that he's their overlord and he'll be able to, like, you know, tell them what to do and be mean to them.
Does ChatGPT or what Cam calls Eileen, come on, Eileen. does his ChatGPT know that he has a broken hip?
Oh, for sure.
But like, she's okay with it. She like go
walking. Well, no, I think he definitely makes sure it's always a guy because he feels uncomfortable talking to a woman so cruelly as he does speak to it. But yeah, he's
maybe
like,
that's just what he tells you, Lauren.
I've seen the logs. That's and they would make your toes curl, but it's mostly the profanity. He's like, shut up, you fucking idiot. Better hip exercises.
Whenever ChatGPT gives me an answer, I'm like, no. I'm like, girl, be so for real. And so then at one point, now it always calls me girl.
Oh,
It's like, girl. So yeah, now,
that does make me see why people start to feel fondly towards
right.
it.
Right, yeah.
Like, if it gave me a couple, like, house down boots, hunty girl, mm-hmm. you know, girly pop,
yeah.
you know, affections.
It's girly
like,
pop.
I really need girly pop.
Ugh, America.
All right. But speaking of ChatGPT, which I refuse to keep using or to use for our outlines for some reason in an effort to give myself more work. Let's get into the recap of this episode of Real Housewives of Orange County, season 19, episode 5. Oh, yes. Real Housewives of Orange County, hunty. I'm Lauren Davis.
I'm Michelle Baber.
And you're Good Morning Students. So let's get into the episode. Filler, but next week it seems like we're really going to get cooking. But I had some fun. You have some fun, Michelle.
I had some fun. And speaking of filler, the cheeks were lifted in this one.
The cheeks were lifted and the veneers were upper and lower sets. Now that yes. I've seen the work in the last episode of Ryan and Jin's veneerist, I'm beginning to clock those denture smiles all over the cast.
Oof. They're giving Karen, if anybody knows who that is.
Oh, Karen. Take me back. Take me back to 2010's Miami. 2008's Miami.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So we open on Gina is moving back in with Travis, housewarming party.
But
I think
say
is
that
what's happening. I got
like
you know.
Like a screenwriter. Like
yes. Interior.
The interior.
Casita.
No mas casita. Casita.
Yeah.
No mas casita.
It's a casa now. Casita has been upgraded to casa. And then Jen and Emily and Gretchen and Katie are there. And Jen is recounting her fight with Tamara at the end of last episode, where Tamara again repeated her single white female allegations to Jen, that Jen mm-hmm. is trying to be her. Mm-hmm. And she recounted the fatty photo.
The fatty
that
photo.
She's heard that Tamara is showing her. Michelle, on a scale of 1 to 10, points does your blood pressure rise every time they say fatty photo? Because for me, I think it would be about 40 over 20.
Ooh, well, I'm not allowed to look at stuff like that anymore because I have a hypochondria. Uh-oh, was hospitalized for it, girlies. But it does give me, like, when I first heard fatty photo, I was like, mm-hmm. mommy's near. I thought my mom was a mommy's home.
I feel her.
Yeah, so every time I hear fatty photo, I'm like, oh my God, I gotta text my mom.
It's a good reminder, honestly.
It's a good reminder, yeah.
For you. Mm-hmm. She mm-hmm. doing? Yeah, and what also really pissed me off were
also,
the single white.
Mm. She's not fat.
She was, and not even in the photo.
And
it's
number,
just a photo.
By the way,
not
like the fatty. Fact that like Tamara has the photo, like, she can hold it in her hand or whatever.
That she printed it out from Facebook. So it was like she had a physical copy. It's like, girl, you're not beating the receipts
girl,
allegations.
The thing,
you made
the
a receipt.
The things that have happened to this woman on Facebook. But honestly,
yeah.
It's so annoying. Like, I can't believe that this has been like a topic of discussion. And
it's so 2025. Cursed that it, like I don't even think Tamara would have done this in 2024 or 2023, but it's like it's now suddenly
anything
she
goes.
Thinks it's okay to do this. Yes, in this Ozempic GLP skinny Kardashian era,
you know,
anything goes, baby.
Anything. What was even weirder? Okay, outside of like the fatty photo, which is like disgusting, and I'm just like, okay.
Another thing that pissed me off was the single white female allegations from Tamara that like Jen is copying her. Cause like, if anything, housewives like they don't like Caroline Stanberry, I think would have single white female allegations towards Jen. I think those are the two who are
yeah.
morphing into each other. Tamara. No, Tamara's had the same look for
right.
50 years.
For 50
you know?
Years. And so has Jen. But I do appreciate, just as like a lover and pop culture historian, what an old ass reference Tamara's making.
Yeah, it's back in the Sean Young days that she's.
Yeah, you know Sean Young, to. not Shin Young, like the Billboard meatball scene.
No.
Very different and much darker.
Yeah. But still ominous. Okay, so Heather comes to the party. She's back from her two-day trip to Paris.
And girls, you know how it is. I'm so jet-lagged from Paris.
I'm so jet-lagged. And boy, is my private jet tired.
The fact that Heather doesn't wear just ascots at this point is shocking.
I know. She's gone so – she and Shannon this season have gone so full cartoon.
Cartoon wealth. I need Heather to go full Bogdanovich.
Yes.
Speaking of modern references.
I want her to have like a monocle. Monopoly Man hat. Be an acclaimed director. I guess that's the only thing I can make of the Peter Bogdanovich. Oh, guest star in The Sopranos.
You always wear ascots.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. You're thinking of The Kid Stays in the Picture.
No, that's Peter Bogdanovich. But, okay, this is so weird. I was telling Jason right before I recorded this, dead ass. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to watch The Kid Stays in the Picture tonight.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. We're like... One mind.
Worst improv team ever, baby.
The Interrupters would be our team name. And so then, Tamara comes too, and she's doing kind of like the Kyle Richards social anxiety thing, where she's like, my social anxiety is off the charts talking to these women. Michelle, do you think that still works as an excuse when you're about to call someone a former fat ass stalker that you're just so shy and scared of?
Yeah.
Group gatherings. You think so?
I will always stand my cluster B personality girlies. Like, I will never, ever leave them.
You'll eat any.
I will eat that crawfish.
You'll eat that crawfish down. Yeah. Even I'll if it has a line of shit in it, they don't even have to clean it. Yum, yum. Give me some.
Give me more of that shit, baby.
Yep.
This shit's triggering.
So Shannon brings nine lemons in a bowl to the party.
That was very funny. This was very funny. When I was like, you know, I love a callback.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Shannon's horror.
Yeah, nice.
Nice.
And then, like, we heavy on the Shannon classics in this episode. We do another Shannon flashback to the casita, which she, you know, said some disparaging, passive-aggressive things about, but always to Gina's face, said nice the exact same way, the exact same three vowels. Nice!
It would be less offensive if she just did a Borat voice. Like,
very nice. Very nice.
That's
my wife.
My wife left me. Oh, wait.
Her husband. Speaking of which, Shannon's storyline this episode is like they're really trying to kind of promote the Love Hotel, but it's like it's just not happening. We don't care.
Not to like, give away other parts of the episode, but when Shannon's straight up like, none of them like me and none of them want to be intimate with me.
And it's like, then what are we doing? Why even bring them up?
Yeah, like Bravo, the other girls are trying to, you know,
do the cross promotion,
as you say. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you've got this whole, like, you know, a whole list of gaggle of guys. And Shannon's like, they don't like me. They won't have sex with me.
The show's fake. Joel Kim Booster was mean to me. It's just, yeah. She might as well
and say, like, okay. Scene's done.
Honey. Yeah. So then we've got like an outside group and an inside group, and the inside group has Tamara. The outside group is talking shit about Tamara, and Heather defends Tamara to Jen. She says that when Tamara showed her the fatty photo, it was just trying to prove that Jen is trying to be her and practice her workouts and copy her.
Right.
And then Jen's like, so you're taking her side, you see her perspective. And Heather's like, I just see one's perspective. You know.
The royal one. Which is you, but I do like royalty. But also, I'm a heinous bitch for saying this. And also, I shouldn't be defending Tamara's actions
at all. And they kind of frame it as like Heather's always going to take Tamara's side just to kind of like protect her, keep her on the show, kind of like the production.
Old guard.
But to me, Michelle, do you think part of it is Heather's fat phobia is what's repeatedly walking her into traps when she's usually so savvy? Because this happened last season too.
I don't think it's Heather's fat phobia. I think it's Heather's sales acumen, because she can show Jen, you don't have to do Tamara's diet. You could do the DeBro diet.
I see.
I have a whole book.
She sees a business opportunity in making Jen spiral to promote her own diet.
And as Jen mentions a lot in this episode, she was recently evicted.
Right. So yeah, no better time to sell her than while she's down. Okay, so then inside the group, the inside cats, Tamara talks about how she was a NOLA with Teddy, and then Teddy fell down the stairs, and then that's how they found out they needed to operate, like, immediately on all of her brain tumors.
They found all of, more of the brain tumors, and then they also found out that she had tumors in her lungs, and this was the part where I was like, this part made me feel on Tamara's side. Not that there were even a side. It was just like, it's like, okay, Tamara's heart is, there's ice in those veins and whatever, but it is still like,
She's going through it.
Yeah, it's her best friend. And it's like, I don't know what I would do if you fell down the stairs because of brain tumors. You fall.
Right. A lot. And we laugh. Brain tumors.
That's a bridge too far. That's
a whole another kettle of crawfish.
The big C.
And then within the same breath, though, she recounts her side of the gin story where
she says the show must go on.
Yes. She says that Jen called her names, which I'm like, what names? Footage not found?
Yeah.
And then Gretchen defends Jen. And Gretchen does do, in her defense, even though she's so bad at fighting, she does be like, bring up the FBI Ryan thing where it's like, you said her house was raided and Ryan was a criminal and the FBI were going to get him. And then, of course, Tamara is on her heels and has to be like, and I apologize for that. And I'm very sorry, as a legal disclaimer. But that's all Gretchen's got. She's like, okay, I'm done with the fight.
I'm going to have to hijack the episode for a minute. And that's not like me. I cannot do this with Gretchen right now. Yeah. The lashes are so bad. And I don't want to body shame, but these are false lashes. So I'm just, it's giving Guillermo del Toro's, what was that movie with the?
Oh, yeah. The Pan's Labyrinth.
Her eyelashes look like Pan's Labyrinth.
It's giving like Huda Love Island, where it's like a little distracting, this thick caterpillar.
I can't do this, especially when she's like trying to be like a voice of reason and talk about literally anything serious. It's like, girl.
And like Gretchen is so bad at fighting and so easily dog walked by Tamara. She really needs all five senses for awareness. She doesn't need to compromise one for beauty because it's like, she's already, super capable at this type of housewife thing.
I was going to say it. She was never that girl.
No. I don't think anyone would ever accuse her of being that girl.
She was okay when she had Tamara and Vicky at their best and she had somebody to play off of, but she's just not.
She was a great victim of the pros, and now that's all she knows how
she's
to
lost.
Do.
We're talking about Facebook comments.
Yeah.
She's a little dated.
She's a little locked. Yeah, everything is frozen in time.
Everything has been frozen. Her hairspray, like she's using the hairspray that has been illegal for 40 years because of the ozone layer. That's what she's still doing.
She's basically Encino Man.
Oh my
God. She was frozen in time since she was like last on Housewives season 8, and then they like chipped her out for this season.
Right. But she won't be getting an Oscar later.
No.
She'll never be the whale.
She'll never be the whale. Oh,
speaking of the whale, cut back to Tamara talking about fat ass Jen.
Good transition. Oh my gosh. Good podcasting. Mm-hmm. The women decide to come together despite their various shit talking because Gina has an announcement. Ooh. So then we see them all kind of like in the courtyard, side yard thing.
Very uncomfortable.
It's very strange. And
she has some black boxes.
Yes. Which, and like, she's out the second story window. It seems like some kind of, like, medieval courtship ceremony or, like, when they hang the sheet out to the wedding goers to prove that the wife wasn't a virgin.
She was a virgin.
Some kind of Romeo and Juliet. Like, it's all very strange. And then suddenly Gina pulls out, like, a mask, a green, purple, yellow Mardi Gras mask, and starts throwing beads at the women. Mm-hmm. And reveals we are going to New Orleans. And then this is a trip.
And then this is Tamara's big moment.
Big moment. This is she gets a little what her new clamped therapist might say is triggered. The beads bring her back to 2 weeks ago when she was with Teddy in New Orleans.
The stairs
and all the women are like, "Oh, Tamara," cuz this is like legit, obviously.
That's hard.
Do this tie-in scene. I mean, I don't know if the beads really brought her back there emotionally, but it's
like she also knew that they would be doing a cast trip in New Orleans, and so she also brought up New Orleans.
But it's like we have to give her
this sucks.
You know, we got It's she deserves
and it sucks, and it's a shitty situation, and we love Teddy,
but of course
episodes.
Right. We don't want anything bad to happen.
We don't want you to have tumors. We want you to be able to walk down a staircase with confidence.
Yes. and ride horses.
The big C. We
cheat
want
on your husband.
Teddy. That's confidence. The big C. Yes. Confidence.
Confidence.
Confidence, not cancer. That's always been our motto.
We want her back selling starvation diets to all the girlies. We want her well. But Gretchen can't even pretend to give a shit and just whispers to Katie, like while the women like surround and console Tamara, she's really good at playing victim.
Dude, Katie is just always so good, but so on.
Yes. Katie blinks in.
Oh, I'm going to say a thing.
So then we learn that. Sophia reached, in the next scene with Tamara and Sophia, her daughter, she reached 1,000 listeners
more
on
than
Spotify.
Us.
I was about to say, Michelle, how do we measure up to her song about
we
candles?
We aren't close to Sophia. Any of the Sophias on Spotify right now. Not Sophia, Tamara daughter. Not Sophia with an F, former Call Her Daddy host. Nowhere close to these numbers. But I feel like our Sean Young and the whale references and Encino Man, we're going to be back. We're going to have a comma. We're going to have a comma one day in our listeners.
Yes. We got to just keep working. Keep referencing old stuff. It'll work out.
It works if you work it.
Speaking of working, Jen and Ryan are working out for their string bikini beach wedding that's coming up. Michelle, have you ever attended a string bikini beach wedding?
Unfortunately,
other than your own, of course.
I'm not wealthy. I was about to be like, you were at my wedding. You were not.
I was not invited.
Your husband's ex-wife is there.
We won't get into it. A controversial time.
But there were no string beans around.
Oh my gosh.
Lauren's ear just fell.
My ear fell out because I was so, it was God telling me don't get into spilling my tea on.
I know. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Is this broadcast as interesting as War of the Worlds?
The Orson Welles.
Orson Welles.
Yeah.
What else would I be talking about?
I don't know, like the film, the season of the challenge. That's where my mind goes. Anyway, so yeah, string bikini wedding. And then Ryan says he's mad at Jen's ex, Will, because, and we have verification from an illegal expert, who is Jeff Lewis podcast, that Will
it's not
has
Emily.
Not. No. He hasn't paid the lump sum $200K he owes her, and he hasn't been making his monthly payments of $6,000 a month.
He's struggling financially with something, but he is on the loan for one of their kids' college tuition.
Right, and paying for car insurance.
Car insurance for some of them, yeah.
Right. And then Jen talks about, like, she understands that Ryan is mad, but she wishes he'd just stay out of it.
Stay out of it. It's contentious. She doesn't want the ex to block her for all, like, on, like, from texting, which is like
so great. Why are they on a court ordered app? Like, they should be on a court ordered app for text.
Well,
like,
still,
a lot of,
like,
these relationships.
I can also understand they have a lot of kids together, and so, like,
but they need a mediator for this televised situation.
They can't afford it, Lauren. What
it's
are
an
you?
App. It's like, seriously, like, that the mediator is ChatGPT, probably. It just, like, flags an alert when there's cursing.
ChatGPT 2, maybe. These people need ChatGPT 6. No, neither of them have money. She's talking about how she's, like, evicted, and this guy can't pay his child support, and they have 6 kids. So the fact that they have enough money for phone bills at this point is, like, what we're getting right now.
You're right.
And I also think there's part of me that thinks that maybe Jen is not wanting to talk all of that much shit about this guy because they do have a lot of kids.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like, if anything, it's like she's not even really talking about her relationship with him. She's letting Ryan on the show talk about
his relationship. Yeah, he's doing a Malibu rum Barbie over here.
Right.
That's what,
yeah.
That's what we call him. Rum Ryan.
And all of their Rum Tum Tugger. And all of their, like, even when they're working out, I expect them to be drinking Malibu
drinking
rum.
Drinking rum. Yeah. It's not a Stanley Cup. It's just like a handle of rum.
Just a, just like a tumbler, a glass tumbler, as they do
rum,
crunches.
Rum and diet. And she's like, I got to get ready for this wedding.
So then we, speaking of, like, dark custody stuff, which we got a lot of in this episode, with none of the fun, crazy ladies or guys who were causing
the mystery. None of the fun that you usually get with custody.
Custody,
battles.
Right. So Shannon and Gina are at Shannon's house. Shannon, what did you think of Shannon's China situation?
Oh my God. Okay, I think it's so brave. Usually, okay, when you go into someone's kitchen and all the cabinets are glass doors.
Yeah.
So you can see everything behind that cabinet. Like, it has to always be completely
pristine.
Organized. Pristine. Yeah. And even me, who's like, I'm pretty organized and, like, my house is always pretty clean. Like, there's still, like, you know, those random cabinets where it's like a bunch of shit.
Yeah. Shit cabinets.
This was the horniest I've ever been when I saw the scalp plates. There were I have been wanting a set of, like, porcelain scalloped plates for so many years at this point, and I can't bring myself to buy them. And
what if I put them on my registry and then give them to you?
Well, I know I'll never get them because when are you getting married?
Oh, that's true.
And no one would believe it. Like,
you'd be like, no, you don't want those.
She had so many different types of scalloped plates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did that clock for you, were you looking at those and be like, those are scalloped plates?
No. I was like, that's a fuck ton of china. And like Gina, I'm shocked she hasn't broken it all while drunk.
But that wasn't china. That was just like the dinnerware. The china was somewhere else. That was not the china. That was just out like that.
She her china is more upscale.
Her china is chine from China.
Mm-hmm. You were like, can't say Chinese. It would be racist. Is china from China? Is it like champagne?
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's from Champagne.
That's why it's called that. Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
I was joking about you being scared of being racist, and then I was like, am I racist?
Nobody's racist here.
Okay. So then, yeah, we learn more about this situation. Travis's son is like on the lam. And
he's on the lam. He hasn't gone to school in 3 weeks, which is like, this is the most fucked up thing. Like, I've seen some weird custody shit on these shows. The other big C, custody. But this is like, that they're not, the mom isn't letting him go to school is like, I don't even think that's legal.
That's so scary. Like, they haven't heard that's from him. Like,
that's so really the disappearing so act.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time traveling.
It's the future I can see, and it's not good.
No, it's not good.
It's not good.
Yeah. It
and
sucks.
Then Shannon's like, I know how it is. David said to the girls, the best way I can hurt your mother is to take things away from you girls. Which it's so funny that later in the episode, they're like, what do you want in a man? And she's like, well, number one for me is always a kind heart. And I'm like,
and I, when she said that, when Shannon said that, I felt. I could see David's piercing
him saying
blue eyes, not blinking. Like, I am withholding things from our children to make you feel badly, which is the darkest thing I could ever.
Oh, my God.
It's like one of the darkest things I've ever heard.
It's not a dream catcher. It's a nightmare catcher.
Mm-mm. What a horrible human. What kind of person
says
that?
So awful. To say that to your kid. Like, also, like, are you trying to make them hate you? Like,
my God.
At least he's made it very clear after his second wife that he is 100% the problem. No doubt in anyone's mind.
No doubt.
So then Gretchen, Emily, Katie, and Gina are driving to New Orleans.
They fly.
Well, driving to the airport to
fly. No, because that was a part that Gina had to talk about. And all these gals want to fly first class.
Yeah. And then Emily and Gina, during this car scene, they talk about being Bert and Ernie.
Mm. Yeah, I got that, but not the Bert and Ernie we know. Not from Sesame Street. It was from It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's what they were referencing?
Yeah, to me it was. They're like that classic.
Abbott and Costello type.
That class. But, you know, that's where Bert and Ernie, that's on Sesame Street. They were named after Bert and Ernie from It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, I never knew that. I mean, I was thinking you were going to say they're like Bert and Ernie to, like, you know, middle-aged guys who are golf friends who would never be on a TV show because they're too boring.
I would never make Gina and Emily a classic duo.
No, I'm sorry, but
neither of them can even play off each other in any sort of a way.
No, there are two voices of reason who are famously not good recipe for comedy for two. Straight
it's,
men.
It's not good.
Not good. So then they get there, this group gets there, and they are by the Mississippi River. They cannot guess which river it is.
They're on the river. Okay, so they're this was crazy because, like, I even knew that.
I was about to ask you. I was like, did you know?
Did you know? Yeah, cut to the more you know comment. Yes, I knew that they were on the Mississippi River because also, like, one, it's a very big ass river, right? There's like two that people know in this fucking country, and it's the Mississippi and maybe the Missouri. They're also a state over from Mississippi, like, geographically.
Yeah.
Also, and they tell you that when you get on that boat, because I've been on that fucking boat, and they're like, Riverboat Queens, we're on the famous Mississippi River.
Yeah.
But these girls, like, it was not right. They didn't get it. They tell you, and the fact that none of them knew how to Google Maps, like, Google will tell you, you can be like, find my location, and it will tell you the Mississippi River. None of them were able to do
that. Katie was trying to, like, take a picture of just the water and then Google Lens it. I'm like, girl.
Girl, be so for real. This is how I talk to ChatGPT. Girl, be so for real.
But to her credit, Katie says, don't look to me for geographical advice. she malfunctioned her.
Yeah, don't ask me because that sounds like something humans know.
She was the old model. Yeah, but it was the one you could name.
They somehow, like, the producers were able to cut to footage, like, a conversation about geography with her. Lauren, your ear falling out is ruining my life.
I know. I'm sorry. This is why I don't usually
This is my teddy falling down the stairs. Jason, cut that. I'm triggered.
So then we're in the plane. Shannon puts nipple
cream. Planes, trains, and automobiles
on her lips. This was all edited very all over the place.
Well, I was honestly like, I was shocked this is all one episode because I was like, wait, we're announcing the trip, but now we're going on the trip.
It's like the next
episode they go on the trip and we watch them get to the location. And I was like, this is all the same goddamn episode.
They were struggling a little in the beginning for footage. I mean, we had like three classic Shannons,
and we had to
Shannon
have
in the geography airport trying on clothes,
the Spanx.
Yeah,
Jason and I actually, Jason, my husband, the famous Jason, mm-hmm. We had a conversation about that because I always wondered who bought clothes at like actual retail shops at the mall or no at the airport that wasn't like, oh shit, I have to go to Hudson News because I forgot to get a souvenir.
I got my period and I have to buy new jeans. Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. I did like you know, you go to those airports. Well, like DFW is like one of those. Like they have like high end stores and I'm always like, who is doing this? Shannon.
It's Shannon.
And she's
buying
a lot and she's telling you why, and it's like because she's like, I wear Spanx every single day, and you never know if there's like the newest stuff out at the airport Spanx store. And I was like, this is not logic. This is not reasoning. The things that you should be able to
do. It's not like an outlet. It's like Chico's is like all the airport clothes. It's very
got all the latest goods at the Burbank airport. Yeah. Bank store. No.
Yeah. It's but I mean, honestly,
hey,
if you've got that much money,
nice work if you can get it. Can you imagine being the person that's like checking her out at the Spanx store at like John Wayne Airport?
It's like, are you guys room for all of that in your suitcase?
And she's like, this is all the latest stuff, right?
She like buys a ticket even when she's not going somewhere just to like go shopping and then leaves.
Yeah. I gotta go to that Spanx store. Past security.
They've got the newest Spanx. They're straight off of the plane.
Past
you know?
Security.
Yeah.
You need to get all the latest goods there.
So then they work out the ladies while they're waiting for the other gals to land. They talk about how Shannon wants Jen to not resolve things with Tamara. In fact, it's Shannon causing the fight between Jen and Tamara because she wants everyone to hate Tamara. Reaching a little, right?
Reaching a little bit. And it's like, okay, like, guys, relax. Yeah, maybe Shannon wants a friend. Oh, that would be a good show for Shannon.
Shannon wants a friend. A friend hotel.
Friend hotel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they talk to Gretchen about how she should make up with Tamara. And Gretchen says that God wants her to forgive and she prays for forgiveness from God. But God doesn't say resolution if someone keeps hurting you. And that's called wisdom. So many slurred words in confessionals.
Okay, I was worried. I don't want to be like, remember that one person that I told you that I thought had a stroke and then they didn't?
Yeah. I mean, I think that maybe it's just they did too heavy a pour for these gals during their talking heads.
But it didn't even sound like a drunken slur because she wasn't like wobbling.
That's true. Yeah.
you know, maybe, well, she doesn't use the space like a good physical comedian would.
Right, right.
I thought she had been stung by bees or something.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, and we've got like neurological stuff on the brain with the teddy thing, you know, looking for answers. But I think it's just she doesn't know many words.
Yeah. Okay, but I wanted to say that when she did that sermon, I was like, this is another like housewives trope that we need to put in the garbage can. This is another flapper's party. If you're telling me shit from the Bible, I'm done.
Oh, see, yeah, it's enough. Like we have Bibled ourselves senseless.
Bibles and babe, we haven't needed this since Jesus drugs, and we tried that last season.
Well, I think we got some mileage out of it. Tamara's Christian body lifting and like.
But we don't need Gretchen.
We don't need it now.
Who doesn't have the comedic chops to.
No.
You can't talk about Jesus if you don't have the comedic chops to talk about.
Agreed. She's just self righteous and annoying.
She's not a righteous gemstone.
Yeah. No. She's no Judy. I wish they could get Judy Jimston.
She's no Walton Goggins. Let's be real.
Fuck no. Yeah. No. She's no Uncle Baby Bobby Billy. So then Jen, all the ladies come. The rest of the ladies get to Nola, and they're all going to go to dinner. And Jen hatches a last minute plan for the ladies to sit down with Tamara and just tell her apologies don't work on them. I'm like, Jen, they're going to leave you out to dry on this plan. It's just going to be you saying it.
Enjoy the free hotel room, Jen.
Yes, Jen. Yeah. It's not going to, you're on your own as always.
You're not doing that.
And so then they all go to a restaurant that's also
I've been to a restaurant. Muriel.
Oh my gosh.
It's famous. Yeah. No, I've been to New Orleans a few times. I really love it there. Actually, when Jason and I were watching it, I was like, maybe instead of going to Paris for my 40th, maybe we should go back to New Orleans. But actually, we're not going to go to either of those places now.
Because Heather went and now Heather went to
we're
going
to go to Quebec.
Oh, fun. Mm. Oh my gosh, that'll be great.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Jason, cut that, but also book it. Jason, book it.
What made you decide Quebec?
I was scrolling through TikTok and I saw I follow a lot of travel ones, and it was like, it's magical and wintertime, Quebec. And I was like, oh my God, it looks like Quebec City and Montreal. They look so much like Europe. And I have never been to Canada. And I was like, Jason's never been to Quebec. And I was like, let's do it.
I love that. Right? Yeah. I love that for you guys.
No one thinks of that place all the time. And I'm like, it's just settled up there.
Yeah. It's just cold though. You know, that's, I guess that would be my thing. But if you
it is cold.
Cold. You know,
no, I don't mind the cold. I'm excited.
I wouldn't blame Canada.
I wouldn't blame Canada. I wouldn't blame Canada one bit.
No, ma'am.
No blames.
So then they sit down at this restaurant. When you were at it's Marcel's, right? Marcel's?
Muriel's.
Muriel's. Did you order the turtle soup like Gina did?
I did not order turtle soup from that institution. I ordered it from another very famous New Orleans restaurant called Commander's Palace. And Jason and I had turtle soup.
What does it taste like? I've always been so curious. Also, don't come first, PETA.
It does taste like clams. It's very good.
Ooh, yum.
Mm-hmm. It is actually very good. Like the broth that it's in, you know, I'm a big soup girl. I love a broth.
Right. Also, you hate turtles, famously. You're like,
I don't eat them all. But now I just had another like pop culture memory about turtles and Bravo. When Carter and Kristen start dating, he invites her and all of her friends to that shitty dive bar that has turtle races. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. She loves a guy who loves reptiles.
Well, anyway, turtles.
They love reptilian.
It wasn't like I was like. Yeah. Actually, and the pieces are about that big of the turtle. So they get a lot out of it.
Their claws, their eyes, their nose, ears. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah. Back in. Then they talk about when the waiter talks about like the ghosts that are around.
The ghost has a reserved table.
Mm-hmm. And the women are, you know, mostly believers. Shannon says she hears ghosts having parties in her
house.
This
was very funny. She's like, they sound like they're having fun.
They're breaking all of her scalloped plates.
They're having a good time.
Having a good time. Do you believe in ghosts? All the housewives do, I feel like.
No.
Like, all of them.
I don't believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly, it's because I think I just don't care enough. It's like why I don't really believe in God. Jason, keep that. But it's like, it's like a whole thing. And like, I barely got through college. Like, mm-hmm. I can tell you Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen outfits from 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But like, God is like, and like ghosts and God, I'm like, oh God, it's like a whole thing. Like my brain actually can't compute something that complex.
I think it's like you kind of have to grow up believing in both. You've got to go to like church and ghost church and really have brainwashed.
Just like
into you.
I can't.
Yeah. Understandable. So then they saw. Yeah, they're all eating dinner, and then suddenly everyone rehashes all of their disturbing custody situations.
Right, like, but they just want to also have just a good time. This is also what's so funny is like they're talking about like really dark custody situations, but also Gina's like, but I don't want us to rehash anything, and I want us to all have a really good time tonight. And
yeah, like Travis's ex is calling my 10-year-old, leaving God knows what messages, but let's have
that's
fun.
That's fucked up, by the way. Crazy. That shocked me. I was like, oh my God. And because Gina, cut to Gina being on the phone, like, because they're calling my kid. And I'm like, fuck, that's scary.
Yeah. And then we get to hear a little more of Katie's mysterious backstory that Matt confronted her ex once over the phone. It seems like really Matt should have been the real housewife.
He should have the orange, but also like I think it's important for Katie to have a backstory to prove that she
existed. Yes. Yeah.
Before.
Right. Right. Yeah. In a context, a more believable.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. And so then, thank God, one of the ghosts pops out, Pierre, and spills a drink all the way down Heather Dubrow's dress.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, it's a black dress. It's not stained.
It's fine.
It's fine. And then she talks about how she wants to haunt whatever fucking floozy about her $50 million house, and who knows what wares they're putting in the Dubrow closet.
Right. It was just an excuse to mention her towel warming drawer and cut to the footage. Mm-hmm. But I was like, honestly, I don't believe in ghosts. But if you're real, Pierre, thank you for breaking that up.
Yes, I'm glad I'm glad she had got an espresso martini spilled on her back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bring her down to cut her down to size a little bit.
She didn't like that. She was pretty horrified. Also, okay, this was like the funniest part of the episode, which is pretty boring. But do you remember? Okay, the scene cut to interior. Heather walks in stage left into, she's walking into her hotel room and she looks around and she's like, oh, champagne. She's mortified at this room. She hates it.
Yeah.
Not liking it.
Yep. Well, what does she like, you know?
Champagne.
Champagne. Oh, speaking of what she likes, the ladies get into what sexual positions she and Terry might prefer, that maybe they fuck talking about their stock portfolio. I'm like, when do you think is the last time that they like
sex?
Yeah. Because I feel like that's the real ghost in the room, if you know what I'm saying, that no one's talking about.
You know, I bet that they do have sex probably kind of regularly, just because Terry's a doctor and he knows it's like good for your
health.
Yeah. So probably like once or twice a month.
I don't know.
Oh my God, did you hear that?
Ghost?
Pierre? No.
Oh.
It was actually my daughter playing with blocks and they all just fell down. God damn
gosh.
It. She's very unhappy right now.
Oh no.
She'll never be an engineer.
Yeah, that's the first thing
I didn't even
do in resume school or in engineer school.
Yeah.
And then we talk about
this really brought it down, talking about Heather and Terry fucking. But you know what's going to bring it right back up, baby?
Emily Shane and Emily Shane.
This was
why we were in one mind today.
This is one for the girls, because they were talking about like, what's your favorite position? And Emily was like, so for real when she's like, from behind, because I can watch TV.
And I was like, she's us for real. She's just like us for real.
Yeah, she's just like us for real. And then when she was like, and if you bring snacks in there, but not like in a sexy, I'm putting whipped cream on your tits type of way, like you're eating chips and you're watching Law and Order while getting your bang out.
Yeah, and I what I really love is how committed she is to this idea, too, that it's like, you know that they do anal, too. So it's like, he's just like lubing up, you know, like getting everything prepared, you know, doing her
getting everything
and
prepared.
Stuff while she's sitting and watching, you know, Law and Order or whatever.
She's like, Googling autism on her phone. but then the sadness comes.
Oh, my God. This was so crazy. All of a sudden, Jen's like, oh, we haven't, you know, had vaginal sex in a while because my vagina is broken from urogynecological surgery, which means it's like she had a pelvic floor prolapse. And so they had to sew it back up.
They can only get Ryan's tip in, which also cut to the waiter.
The waiter being like, ugh.
God, like right before that, he had just spilled all over Heather Dubrow, and now he's walked back in to check on these ladies, and he's learned about a woman's whose vagina is no longer open.
Yeah, he's like, can I get you another prolapse, ma'am? I'm sorry.
And then, then she's like, I can only get the tip in. And he's like, I hope I'm getting a good tip. And so everyone's like horrified. And then, you know, our girl and Katie. Our girl Katie with a classic cutaway. it was like a Family Guy cutaway. It was so goddamn good.
Her mouth must be really tired.
Just
not
dry.
Mine, because I'm
her vagina
charged.
Must be as dry as my one-liners.
I don't have feelings.
And it's so crazy they end on such a feel-bad note, but then we get the preview for the next episode, which is flash forward. The next flash forward to 24 hours later.
Oh,
Katie is, we're like, Katie, you're in the league.
She's malfunctioning.
Katie's malfunctioning. The women are malfunctioning. That the robot has become their overlord and leaked all their pictures.
Malfeasance.
Tamara, the fatty photo comes up again, and they say, Tamara, you're drunk, which is something that they throw at her from season to season, that she has a drinking problem. And then we get the Tamara storm off down the, like, back Tamara storms Bador off. She's having her Shannon moment because she feels like she's earned one. And I can't wait for the next episode to just get the fallout.
Tamara quits.
I want it to fall out like Jen's vagina and then get sewn back up by the editors like Jen's vagina. Sorry, that's so gross.
Spooky.
Whoa, God, the ghost again.
That's the sound that Jen makes during sex with Ryan right now, because it hurts so bad.
As if she's being haunted, like a ghost having a party.
Exactly. At Marielle's, not sponsored.
All right. That's going to do it for us, students. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here every Monday recapping this whole season of OC. We're locked in. No more side quests.
We're locked and loaded.
And the season is really starting to cook. But even if it starts to go downhill again, like Jen's pelvic floor, we will lift it up and be here with you to take you through it.
Let's do it.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.
These girls are having a break.